Yeah, I remember the first time I ever heard Afternoon of a Faun. It was in junior high school, and that's when they still had record stores where you know, real records. And I remember hearing it on the loudspeaker and thinking it was the most beautiful thing, most mysterious thing, most ancient, otherworldly kind of tonality and colors that I'd ever heard. And then I noticed that flute was the prominent instrument. And I thought, I don't think I gravitated to play flute because of that music. I think I gravitated toward flute because it was portable and it was easy to carry around. But as far as what the flute's capable of, even composers like Jean Levet and many others in the early 20th century were seeing that flute had this sort of primordial dimension, incantational or sort of ritualistic kind of feel to it. You know, it goes way back in, you know, they have them in the Stone Age in the caves. Flutes are depicted there too.
Debussy had much love for the flute, and it's particularly notable in a work that you're going to play on Monday night that's for flute alone. Talk about this piece.
Well, Syrinx is a standard of the flute repertoire, and sort of something I remember seeing for the first time when I was like 15 or 16 in high school. It was in fact, I think I inadvertently absconded with the only copy of our high school because they let me borrow it, and I just remember finding it recently, and I've been looking at that copy for Monday's performance. And that piece was incidental music for a play, as far as I understand it. I do know an interesting story about that piece that Debussy will talk about Syrinx, that it is definitely written in metered time with bar lines and everything else. And he said, if my name had been Richard Wagner, everyone would play my music in rhythm, but because I'm Debussy, everyone just takes all the liberties they want. And so this piece has many permutations. I tend to take it from the orchestral background that I come from and try to honor that tradition of, you know, good rhythm and sort of a straightforward simplicity when I do it.
Let's talk about the other work you're going to play, which includes the harp and viola, a somewhat unusual combination of instruments, viola, harp, and flute. It's one of Debussy's later works, one of his last works, really. Can you talk about what makes this trio sort of a signature sound also of Debussy?
There is nothing in our repertoire like it. I mean, we don't have another piece that has the same kind of conception, I think, but what he does to treat it is extraordinary. The end of the first movement, it doesn't matter who plays it, where I hear it, when I hear it, it gives me chills every single time. It is one of the most sublimely beautiful endings in chamber music for flute, or in chamber music period, as far as I'm concerned. And I think he exploits all three instruments so beautifully that it's, if people haven't heard it, I tell them to run to get a chance to hear it live, because it's hard to hear.
Richard Sherman is professor of flute at Michigan State University. He performs on MSU's West Circle series Monday night here at Michigan State University. Richard, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.
For WKAR, this is Peter Wharf.